Hello, guys. Welcome back to the MMA Sucker podcast. As always, I'm Fraser Crone, and this is the second podcast of the week. Obviously, as you know, the first podcast dropped earlier on in the week when we had a look at UFC 298 and the fallout and a bit of the aftermath from that. I've formulated an article, although it hasn't actually gone up yet. It'll probably be up later today or tomorrow, and looks at the comparison between Ian Garry and Moznov Evloev as to they're both undefeated stars. But why Ian Garry is a lot more of a bigger sort of name in the business, as it were, than Moznov Evloev. This podcast, looking at three previews for three cards that come that are upcoming this weekend. But I do just want to touch on UFC 300 because I released an article this week. I'll link it down below. Essentially taking a bit of a shot at the UFC and with regards to the UFC 300 main event, as we know, my last podcast looked at the fact that it was Jamahal Hill versus Alex Pereira, and that is what it is. And after I've sort of let that marinate a little bit, I was quite emotional when it came to that announcement. And it's not as bad a fight as maybe I was making out, but I still don't think it's the fight that we as fans deserve. But we also commented on the fact that Leon Rocky Edwards was offered three fights. We didn't at the time know who those were. And now it's been announced that it was Khamzat Chimaev, Shavkat Rakhmonov, and Islam Makhachev. Now, that to me is ridiculous. It's frustrating. None of those guys, apart from maybe Shavkat, deserve a shot at Leon's welterweight belt. But the only guy that really deserves a shot at the belt is Belal Muhammad, and he wasn't offered it. People are saying that the reason that these guys didn't accept the fight is because, obviously, because of Ramadan at the moment. Possibly that's true. But Belal Muhammad has fought through Ramadan before. That's been well documented. So I'm not quite sure why he wasn't offered the bout at all. And my latest article does look at the integrity of the UFC, or latest feature article, I should say, looks at the integrity of the UFC and why it's kind of lost. I'll link that down below because I think it's a really interesting read. But that was just my sort of quick thoughts, as it were, on the UFC 300 main event and the integrity of the UFC belt maybe being lost a little bit. I've also got an article coming out later today, just talking a little bit about the PFL versus Bellator card this weekend. Obviously, I'll preview that on the show today. And head over to the YouTube channel. Obviously, some of you may be on the YouTube channel now watching this. Some of you may be on Apple Podcasts. I'll post the interview on Apple Podcasts probably at the weekend. But I interviewed Lauren Ray, Team England star in IMAF. She's got a fight coming up on Pallas Athena. That's a really interesting view into the amateur game, and she's obviously looking to turn pro. So check that one out. But let's jump straight into it. Let's break down UFC Mexico City or UFC Fight Night Mexico City, which goes down this weekend. We are looking at a card that is headlined essentially by two rematches. The main and co-main events are both across five rounds. And they're both rematches. And interestingly enough, they both actually finished due to an injury. I think both due to shoulder injuries, which is even more interesting. The actual headliner, the final fight of the night, is Brandon Moreno versus Brandon Royval. Moreno will be looking to rebound from losing his title to Pantoja back in July in that razor close bout, that really entertaining, probably fight of the year in July last year. Moreno will be looking to get back in the win column and potentially looking for a quick turnaround for that May card in Brazil. Importantly, Brandon Moreno won the first fight. But we have to caveat that with Royval had suffered an injury prior to the finish. Moreno landed two takedowns and, he had worked in some ground and pound there. Royval himself is actually looking to bounce back as well from a fight against Pantoja, where he didn't really put in the best version of himself, I feel. I feel he was pretty much dominated in that fight. He's taking this one on slightly short notice, but not so much short notice that I think it'll make it and it'll be a cardio issue, especially not with the guys at flyweight. It was meant to be Amir Albazi competing in this fight, but obviously he suffered an injury and is out of the fight with Moreno. Prior to this one, Royval's only lost to, well, not even prior to this one, Royval's only lost to two men. in the UFC. He's lost to Brandon Moreno and he lost to Pantoja twice. He does hold three losses though. And he looked in that last fight, he looked a little bit like the moment got to him, because prior to that he looked really good. He finished two straight. I think he finished Matt Schnell and Mateus Nicolau. Schnell by, I want to say, guillotine choke. I know it was a choke. It was a guillotine or a rear naked choke. And then he obviously finished Nicolau on the feet via TKO, something that we don't always see at flyweight. The keys to victory for this one, I think Moreno has to be the favourite, and he has to mix the martial arts. He has to keep it standing when he wants to, but also he has to mix in those takedowns. Royval was taken down 8 times by Pantoja and controlled for 15 minutes and 51 seconds of their bout, and he's got to do better against Moreno if he's gonna win this one. Moreno's really got to keep that jab active. We know what a weapon that jab can be, and he's got a really kick to the body, like we saw him do against Kai Kara France, when those guys fought for the interim title. Royval has got to, he's got to try and keep it standing, really. I know he's good on the ground, but I think Moreno's better. He's got to try and keep it standing, and he's got to kind of utilize Moreno's ability to shoulder roll and sort of not always get out fully out of the way of shots. I think he's really got to utilize that and put long combinations together. He's probably going to be caught by a few counters early on in the fight, but he's got to put the longer combinations together. Maybe you're not looking to land on Moreno with the second and third shot, but maybe the fourth, fifth, or sixth shot, I think, would be really, really beneficial for him. I am picking Moreno via fourth round sub in this one. I just think he's going to be really hungry to get that bout back. It's in Mexico City. The crowd's really going to be on his side, and I think it's going to be a good night for Brandon Moreno. In the co-main event, we've got another rematch, as I alluded to earlier, between Yair Rodriguez and Brian Ortega. They met in 2022, which was finished prematurely in the first round due to a shoulder injury for Brian Ortega. In that fight, Yair was getting the better of Ortega before the stoppage. He managed to overwhelm Ortega with volume, really. He was very active in that first round. I think he threw, almost 50-odd strikes in the first round and landed with a pretty high clip as well. Since that, Ortega has been out. He's been out of action. He's been rehabbing that injury, obviously, and he just hasn't had a fight. I'm not sure. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm just going to double check as to whether he's actually had a fight booked and withdrawn from that fight. But Brian Ortega's a strange one. He's come up with, so no, he hasn't even been booked for a fight since that Yair Rodriguez fight. But like I said, he's a strange one. He's come up with very, very good. He finished Cub Swanson. He was the guy that could always be behind on the cards before finishing it. Clay Guida, Renato Moicano, Cub Swanson, and Frankie Edgar, I believe. Well, Frankie Edgar was in the first round, but those other three fights, he was certainly behind on the scorecards. But then he was brutalized by Max Holloway. He then took a prolonged period of time out, almost 2 years out, came back and fought Chan Sung Jung and was really good against the Korean Zombie. And then he was battered against Alexander Volkanovski. And then obviously he suffered this shoulder injury against Yair Rodriguez. He is 33 years old now, so he should be really peaking, but I'm not sure if we'll see it because he's been so, so inactive. And it's disappointing, really. His last win was in 2020 against Korean Zombie, where he looked phenomenal on the feet. Let's not forget. But has he been in the gym the whole time, really working and getting better since his last fight in 2022? I'm not sure if he has. He's 1-3 in his last four fights, and in those three losses, he hasn't looked good. Comparing that to Yair Rodriguez, since their last fight, Yair Rodriguez blitzed through Josh Emmett and submitted him in the, I think, the third round, fourth round, third round, I think it was. Yair Rodriguez got the better of Josh Emmett in that, sorry, second round, in that interim title bout. And then he wasn't doing too badly against Alexander Volkanovski before he was pretty much finished on the feet, Yair Rodriguez. I'm picking Yair Rodriguez, and I think he might finish Ortega late on. Ortega will look too rusty. It'll take too long for him to get into his rhythm, and he'll ultimately, he'll be the architect of his own downfall because of that inactivity. I really do see Yair Rodriguez getting the better of Brian Ortega. And then, you know, we have to look at whether Brian Ortega's done at the top level, and whether Yair Rodriguez can move on to that next level. Elsewhere on the card, we've got Raul Rosas Jr. returns after rebounding from his first loss last time out. He takes on Ricky Turquoise, the tough 29 champion. Scotsman Chris Duncan is returning. He was meant to fight earlier on in the year. Had to, sorry, he's meant to fight late last year. Had to withdraw from that one. He takes on Manel Torres. Torres is 14-2, and he's looked really good. He's full of finishes. Torres. He's got 14 wins and only been to a decision once. Which is really, you know, really something to keep an eye out on. Yasmin Jaragi returns after a 20-second loss last time out. She was the kind of the next big thing at strawweight, really. She was thrust onto the main card, if you remember, for her debut. She then beat Estela Nunes by ground and pound in the second round, but then she came up against Denise Gomez, and was knocked out in 20 seconds. She takes on the, you know, respectfully, the gatekeeper of the division, Sam Hughes, who, you know, she takes on all comers, which is fair enough. This is a pretty decent card. There's definitely a sort of Mexican feel to it, a South American feel to it. You've got a lot of Brazilians on this card. Rene Barzola's on this card. Claudio Puelles, if you remember from that dreadful fight that he had with Dan Hooker, where he couldn't get anything going. Luis Rodriguez competes, makes his debut, sorry, against Dennis Bodnar, which is Bondar, sorry, which is a. I think it'll be an interesting fight, to say the least. And you've got, Felipe Dos Santos is on this card as well, who's very rarely in a boring fight. You know, he made his debut against Manel Capp after, signing on short notice for the UFC, and he went the distance with Manel Capp. He's 23 years old as well, so it's he's definitely one to keep an eye on. But that's not all we've got this weekend. We've got two other massive cards. We've got KSW Epic. Now, I'm just going to read, I'm not going to preview this in any great detail. I'm just going to read the fights that we've got. It's a crazy, crazy card of mixed fights. Let me check where it goes down from. I'm imagining it goes down from Poland, because that's just what they do. Yeah, it's in Poland. You'll be able to hopefully find some sort of coverage for it, because this is one to watch without a doubt. It's a crazy card. Phil DeFries takes on Josh Barnett in a grappling match inside the octagon. Mohamed Khalidov competes in a boxing match. There's a one night four man tournament to crown the light heavyweight champion, which I'm pretty sure the matchups were decided on by a fan vote, which is phenomenal, phenomenal interaction work. A caged Muay Thai fight in MMA gloves. MMA rules, but fought in a gi. There's a no, I don't know quite know how these differ, but there's a no holds barred fight where elbows, soccer kicks, stomps, knees to grounded opponent are all allowed. And we have a pride rules fight. If you can get your hands on this fight to watch it, do so, because it's phenomenal. It's really, really good. And yet, it's not the only card that we've got. We've also got the PFL versus Bellator Champions card, which is, you know, equally, if not slightly better than that card. Going down from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, we've got the, like I say, the PFL versus Bellator card. The belt was revealed yesterday. This is it. This is the belt. For those of you that are watching, you can see that the belt on the screen here. PFL versus Bellator champs card. They also get a ring. Goes down from Saudi Arabia, and there's several unification bouts. Headline in the card is the heavyweights, Renan Ferreira and Ryan Bader. Really, really good fight. Renan Bader, obviously. Renan Ferreira, sorry. Last year's champion, Ryan Bader, obviously the Bellator champion. Co-main event. Impa Kasanganai versus Johnny Eblen. Impa Kasanganai looking to hand Johnny Eblen that first professional loss. Johnny Eblen looking to stop Impa Kasanganai in his tracks after he's on a massively great run of form. You can read this whole article, guys, on MMAsucker.com. Wrote it yesterday. We had Magomed Karimov on the card. He's had to withdraw. So Jason Jackson now meets Roy Cooper the third. We've got Valin Nemkov moving up to heavyweight to take on Bruno Capzola. Yoel Romero and Thiago Santos meet, which is almost guaranteed fireworks. But, you know, are they both past their best? You'd probably suggest that they are. Clay Collard competes on this card against AJ McKee. The undercard, you know, you've got Aaron Pico, but we've got a slight change to the undercard. But Clarissa Shields returns against Kelsey DeSantis. Nate did a video with Kelsey DeSantis a couple of weeks ago now, so definitely go onto the onto MMA Sucker and check that out because that's really well worth a watch. It's a long interview, but it's definitely worth going to listen to. And yeah, there's been slight changes to the card. Let me just pull it up because Aaron Pico, well, Patricky Pitbull, I believe, is now on the card. I'm just double checking. One second. Yeah, so I've just checked on the PFL's Twitter page. Patricio Pitbull will now meet Gabriel Braga in featherweight, and Aaron Pico will now face Henry Corrales at featherweight as well, lightweight. Sorry, I imagine. Really, really fun matchups, guys. So be sure to check them out. Like I say, that's the Bellator versus PFL card this weekend, live from Saudi Arabia. I'm sure you guys have seen because I do hope that you follow Tim Wheaton. But Tim's out there with boots on the ground. I'm not sure who he's working for, whether it's Calf Kick or somebody else, but go and check out some of Tim's content because he's you know he spoke to Peter Murray earlier today. He spoke to Clarissa Shields yesterday. He's absolutely smashing the game. It's really really great to see. But that was just a little preview, guys, of what's going down this week. Definitely lock into everything this week because especially that KSW card is going to be absolutely nuts. PFL card is going to be crazy, as is the UFC in Mexico City. So yeah, get all of them covered, guys. I'll be back on probably Monday or Tuesday, probably Monday, to break down what the cards that were and the cards that will be. Having a little look ahead. Let me just look at what we've got coming up the week after next. We've got UFC Fight Night. Who's headlining it? I have no idea. Let me just double check. But yeah, like I say, guys, you know I don't like to do an awful big sort of in-depth breakdown as to the cards themselves. But we've got a very good fight night actually. Jarzynia Rozenstruik versus Shamil Gaziev. Alex Perez versus Muhammad Makhachev. Umar Nurmagomedov returns, as does Joel Alvarez. Tyson Pedro's on the card. Eric Anders versus Jamie Pickett. Matt Schnell. Christian Leroy Duncan's on the card, coming off that big knockout last time out. I do believe, yep, we're back in the apex, unfortunately, but it is what it is. I'll talk about that all on next week's show, but thanks for listening, guys. Manscaped. Precision engineering tools for your family jewels. Use the code SUCKER, SUCKA, to get 20% off and free worldwide shipping. They've just recently released the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, and they sent me one, guys. It's a phenomenal piece of kit. Use the code SUCKER, SUCKA. I'll drop the link in the description down below. Honestly, it's a really good piece of kit. So to make sure you get on that. Thanks for listening, guys. Like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff, and I'll catch you next time.